Welcome to Local Matters, the radio show about all things affecting Central Kentucky with Alan Stein and Skip Elliott. Brought to you by Citizens Commerce. Switch one time for a lifetime.
Welcome into the inaugural edition of Local Matters, a local podcast talking about everything in Lexington and the Bluegrass. And my co-host, Alan Stein. Hey, Alan, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you today, Skip?
I'm doing great. It's the honor of having on our inaugural show.
No kidding.
With our own Lexington Mayor, Jim Gray. Hi, Mr. Gray. How are you?
Skip, it's great to be with you, and I'm doing great. And thank you all so much for asking me.
We're glad to have you here. Thanks, we think Alan. It's perfectly appropriate that in a show that we call Local Matters, that we'll be touching on so many topics. I'm hopeful, in fact, that you'll be able to come back and visit with us on these other topics. But to have you, our leader in this community, as we're doing so well as a community, is perfect for you to be in on our inaugural show, and I appreciate that very much.
Well, thanks a lot. It's great to be with you, Alan.
So this conversation that we're going to start off, and there'll be subsequent four, five, or six others in this series, we want to talk about the real estate market here in Lexington and all of the aspects that go along with that, housing, growth, jobs, everything that is relative to coming from the real estate market. So with that, we don't think there's anybody here who has a more a general and broader view of all of that than our mayor. So the first question I think I'd like to ask you is, our listeners want to know, why is this important? Why should we even be interested in what happens in the real estate world here in Central Kentucky?
You know, Alan, I've always believed when you're green, you grow, and when you're ripe, you rot. And fortunately, Lexington has grown. Now, it's important that we grow in the right ways, and I think we've seen that in Lexington as well. Lexington today is the 60th largest city in the country at roughly 325,000 population. We were named in 2016 as the sixth best run city in the country, and we moved up a notch in 2017 to the fifth best. Now, what does that have to do with the real estate market? Well, what these numbers tell us is that we are a growing city, and we're growing in the right way. So much of this robustness in the market, in my view, and I've been in the construction business, real estate, around the real estate business and industry all my life before I became mayor. And I saw that quality of life and quality of place in any city that we were building in across the country, quality of life and quality of place was just a very big deal. And it became more and more. Well, Lexington is fortunate, and the area around us is fortunate to have the University of Kentucky.
True.
And
true.
As a result, you know, we are a university city with all the strengths that come and are associated with that. The quality of life, and I'll finish with this, quality of life, such a big deal. As I look back 50 years ago, people would move to where the jobs were. And in Lexington, we think IBM, for example, which later became, of course, Lexmark.
Right.
But a lot of people moved here. To
that was
come
in the
50s, right.
58, I
exactly,
think.
Right. Right. They moved here to be with the company, IBM. But today, jobs are moving where the people are, and people are locating where there's a premium attached to quality of life. And that's why. And then what you see is the circle repeating itself. Great quality of life, great quality of place. People want to be there. Businesses want to be there. Your markets, your real estate markets, tend to improve over time. And that's what we've seen in Lexington.
And so, Mayor, how does it manifest itself here in Lexington? What sets us apart as we talk about that? And then if you could tie that all into why jobs are even important here in Lexington.
Well, when you think of it, what are the attributes of a city that has this level of robustness, this level of quality? Well, there are parks, there are great schools, we've got the university, it's a safe city, low crime rates, good infrastructure, affordable housing, well-run government. All of these attributes tend to describe a place a city that is on, that has an upbeat to it.
Right.
That has a positive direction to it.
A good vibe.
A good vibe. Believe it or not, I used to think, believe it or not, Alan, you'll understand this. When I was first got into the political world, and I still consider myself a business guy who happens to be in government today, but I used to think if people feel better about their city when they get up in the morning, if they feel better about their city, then they're very likely to feel better about themselves and their jobs and what they're doing. And then if they do, then you will have been successful in what you tried to do.
Well, I think you're exactly right about that. And there's no question that, you know, our businesses over the years have been in multiple states around the country as well. There's a sense of pride here is really strong. It's almost palpable. People who believe and love and want to be here. Yep. And when you get people that are away, as Governor Chandler said, there's only two Kentuckians, the ones that are here and the ones that are coming back.
That's right. Never met a Kentuckian who wasn't on his way home.
That's exactly what he used to say.
Yeah, right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, and I think it applies. What you're saying is that people really do love you. There's a lot of affection. There's a lot of attachment to a city, to a town. You know, I see that in Lexington. I see that in the communities around us, the towns around us, you know, a real attachment. And there's a vitality in that. And there's something that really warms you in all the right ways.
But I would expect that we shouldn't take that for granted.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
As in anything that's really good, you have to work at it to keep it there. So as mayor, what have you done to make sure that good vibe continues?
Well, I say often and routinely that in terms of this job, that even on a bad day, it's a great job. And I also go on to say sometimes, Alan, that if you have a deep need to be loved, do not run for mayor. And what I mean by that is that, you know, whenever you're undertaking change and new initiatives, whatever that may be, then it's not going to make everybody happy. Now, change is better accepted when it's understood. So having a conversation about change is always important. And I've learned two things in this role, to be both persistent and patient. Patient and persistent. And you just, you know, and you need to be doing both pretty much all the time. You're working on both. You got to be, as sometimes I say, you know, you're down on the dance floor and then you lift yourself up to the balcony. You're thinking, you know, you're killing the snakes sometimes closest to your feet. And you're lifting up to the crow's nest and you're looking over the horizon. You know, what's next? Where can we be going? And how are we going to get there? And how are we going to lead and allow people to really have a leg up in life? That, at the end of the day, is the real challenge and the opportunity.
Now, we know the city recruits businesses come into Lexington. Do they actively recruit people to move into Lexington?
Oh, I do. I do. I promise you, Skip. I will do that routinely. You know, I say, look, Lexington is a great place to live, a great place to raise a family, a great place to stay, to live, to work, to stay. Mm. And it is in so many respects. There's so many people that have moved to Lexington. I'll be in a group setting. And I'll say, how many of you are like me? Raise your hand. How many of you are like me and moved to Lexington? And usually it's about 70 to 75% of the group has moved here. Now, why is it? Well, they moved here perhaps with the university, you know, to go to school. And they didn't want to leave. Or they moved here to work at the university, you know, faculty, staff. University is a big influence, of course, in the city. But yeah, I think recruiting people, that's what I said, you know, what we were talking about earlier, is that it's so much about the quality of life, quality of place, and people move to places today, before they think as much about jobs.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think, when the World Equestrian Games was here a few years ago, that was, I've been here almost 30 years, that was probably the most exciting, or most excited I felt for Lexington and how great That whole thing was pulled off with the music and everything else.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
That was wonderful. Are we planning to do something like that again?
Engaging the whole community.
Yes, and that's what we did.
And then you had, you know, and a couple of 3 years later, it was the Breeders' Cup.
Right.
That was here in Lexington. And I think, you know, when you look at the offerings, the Lexington, one of the attributes of a university city, Skip, is high arts and culture offerings. So music, the venues that we have now, you know, the vitality, the vibrancy of the downtown and the urban core, all of these things are what really come together, the synergy, in a synergistic way, you know, pull everything together to then create this place that people want to be. And then out of that, you know, believe it or not, you know, you get more startup companies.
Sure.
Of course, we're going to get more spinoffs and startups as a result of the university and the technologies that are created at the university, the research dimension of the university. But what we're seeing are more startups today. Bluegrass Angels, an investor group, they're making more investments than they ever have. And I was talking to Chris Young about this the other day, who's the president of it. And he says, you know, it's starting. It's not just starting to happen. It's already happening.
All of these things go to create a perspective, a vision, some would call a brand. As our mayor, who travels all over the country, what do you think our brand is? And what do you think the perception of our brand is?
Well, you know, we've got our signature industry, of course, the horse industry.
Right.
And we've got bourbon that has emerged in the last few years with the Bourbon Trail and visitors who are attached to the Bourbon Trail. And when you put those two together, and you've really got a signature. You've got a real signature. People, again, they want to be around a place that is exciting, that has stuff going on. You've got UK basketball and you've got UK sports all together, you know, which has an extraordinary influence on the community, on the vitality of the community, the energy of the community. And I think so when we think about it, perhaps Lexington used to be thought of as a little sleepier, maybe. Alan, would you agree?
Absolutely.
But it's not so much that way today.
Not at
I
all
hear
anymore.
Routinely people saying that we don't want the traffic of an Austin or a Nashville, but we sure like the vitality of those cities, and we like the energy of those cities, and we like the energy then that represents here. And, you know, we have so many people that in our communities around us that are often, I will, you know, share with me, you know, they'll work in Lexington, they'll come to Lexington to shop or for entertainment, and then often people in Lexington, in a vice versa way, you know, we'll go out in our communities. We have a unique relationship with our communities around us. It's a bit of a hub and spoke model where there are larger towns around us, but they are individual. They have a very individual sense about them and their own identity, their own brands. And those brands all work together in this, what we call this, the overarching bluegrass brand. And which I think, myself, that the blue horse, that iconic image of
thanks David
Troy's
Lord.
Heart. Yeah, thanks to David Lord. Yes, yeah. He imagined that and hired a great firm to brand it, and it does a really cool job of illustrating something unexpected that is something that's that we have a real attachment to, the horse and the horse industry, but there's a little bit of a spin on it with it being blue and an unexpected turn to it, which is what the city can be. And it created it almost 50 years ago, maybe more than, well, around 50 years ago.
And
in fact,
I believe
it was
we were
earliest,
the first in the country,
to work to preserve the rural landscape and the working farms around us. And that has, in by almost any measure, that has worked to the benefit of both preserving that rural landscape and what makes us really special, and also creating a robust infill work within the boundary. And it's meant that government, in a creative way, had to do its work and to work to preserve the boundary, to expand it when necessary, when it was viewed as essential for especially for affordable housing or for the growth associated with manufacturing jobs or retail, but it's been preserved. And the boundary's been preserved now for we're looking into to 20 years now.
Right.
And at its original level. So the point of it is that government can be a force and an force for in a positive way for influence when there's creative direction and when there's an efficient direction with it. And I think that's what has occurred.
And, now, go ahead.
You know, I was just going to say the pushback can be that housing costs, for example, might increase when we put a constraint on growth. And that's something that has to be considered as the city does grow. I mean, these are the tensions that occur that are really just natural, though. I mean, if you think about it, the tensions that occur in decision-making are routine. What you got to do is manage through that
right.
in a creative way that gives an opportunity for many voices and many constituents to be heard, for their voices, their opinions to be heard. And that's what we do with our planning process that we have held every 5 years, and that we're looking at a new model where we'd be examining these boundary issues more routinely
as yep. issues or opportunities come up.
We'd be considering metrics or measures or indicators that would tell us that, well, we're okay where we are right now, or perhaps we need to look at adjustments.
Talking about as we approved, the council approved the planning staff's recommendations on not expanding the urban services boundary this time, there was a conversation, and maybe you can update us, on the possibility of creating some new areas where jobs could come from some growth,
yeah.
Swap with the university.
Really,
can you
important.
Talk a little bit about that for us?
Yeah, that deal, the UK, the land swap will provide this Lexington with 250 acres that are today owned by the university. That's 250 acres of prime land upon which manufacturing jobs especially could be provided. The city would control this property. And it would represent almost twice as much land as has been developed in the last 20 years in the Bluegrass Business Park. That's out
right.
on Georgetown.
Right.
So Georgetown Road. So it really helps us ensure that the supply of land for jobs is adequate. It's not that it's not constrained or not limited. And that's just that's a very, very significant, because we've got a diversified economy. Yes, we're a university city, but a university city, by definition, has a diversified economy where a college town is just almost consumed, actually, by the university. Here, we've got a city where the university has a strong footprint, but it's not overwhelming.
Why are those jobs important to us?
Those jobs are important because, I mean, you think about it, Alan. We need jobs for everybody. We need jobs for folks who see nobility in swinging a hammer and turning a wrench. We need jobs for those who have gone to perhaps high school, maybe don't even have that high school education, but they have passion and they have commitment and they have a work ethic. We need jobs for folks who have technical education, technical college, community college education, those who have higher levels of education. So that's the strength and the importance and the significance of a diversified economy.
But the jobs mean the economy of Lexington, and particularly government, can operate.
Absolutely right.
I'm sure you can explain how we run the government. Yeah. Where do our dollars come from?
The revenues that keep that keeps our streets paved, that keep our sewers working, that keep our police and our firefighters with respectable salaries and retirements. All of that income is a function of the better part of that revenue for the city through its taxing basis. The better part of it comes from what's called the occupational tax.
What percentage of our budget?
It's two and a quarter. More than out of $350 million, we're talking about close to $200 million.
Right. So yeah. 65-70%. Yeah. Sure. Skip.
What happened in 2017 to affect the Lexington real estate market?
Well, the biggest things that happened in 2017 was that we started our most recent comprehensive plan. That meant not growing out. But it meant protecting our rural areas, something we've already touched on, protecting right. our rural areas, that the signature industries that helps make our urban core stronger and more vigorous and more vibrant. We announced the UK land swap deal, which is what we've already talked about, too. It's an exciting opportunity, something that's so rare. I've never seen. I've been seen a lot of projects in a lot of different places all over the country, and I've never seen before a transaction or an opportunity like this where a university stepped up and said, we're willing to share in this way with the city because we recognize that the growth of the city and the growth of the university are connected, are interdependent
right.
entirely.
They yeah, are interdependent.
Right.
You're right. Right. Well, when we get a hot real estate market that we are clearly in here in Central Kentucky, and I don't think we're absolutely unique in that. There are positive things that can come from that. And as we wind down this conversation, Mayor, do you think that there's anything we can do as a community to make sure that market stays strong, or can it overheat?
Oh, well, I've been in business long enough, Alan, and you have too, to know that there are cycles to everything.
Right.
And there's the proverbial yin and yang, and the cycles, you know, we will go up, and that which goes up usually also has a decline to it. It will go down. So we can expect that that a market can become, or you can anticipate that if we're not thoughtful and careful in our planning, that yes, it could overheat. And I think that's the thing that we've got to be mindful about.
And one of the results of that you mentioned earlier is that housing costs go up and we begin to perhaps lose folks who might go to other communities. And then the jobs would follow them. So we have to be really careful.
You have to be really careful. You have to be careful. You have to be thoughtful. You have to plan ahead. You have to. Earlier I said, you know, you have to lift up to the crow's nest and you have to look ahead.
Right.
You have to see where you're going and plan on this before you actually get there. And then you have the challenges and the problems. Now, we're not going to, I say routinely, you know, I didn't create this world and not going to solve all of its problems. We in both the private sector, I think, and in the public sector in a place like Lexington, work together. And you work to identify opportunities and you work to identify and solve problems and challenges. And I think the more that we can do of that, then the greater the opportunity that we will have a more universal prosperity that will touch and help everybody.
You've done a great job with that, Mayor. I can recall over the past decades when these conversations about the urban services boundary would come up. My mama used to call it bloodletting. It was difficult. And I should commend you and the council and the planning staff, everyone, for the civil way that we as a community are addressing our problems. And I think that starts at the top. So, Mayor, we commend you for that. This has been a great conversation. We really appreciate you being here for our inaugural voyage. Anything you'd like to share with us at the end here?
Oh, listen, I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity. It's a remarkable experience to have had the opportunity to have the role that I have. And I often think of what Ronald Reagan, he had a sign in front of his desk that said, "There's no limit to what a man can achieve so long as he doesn't mind who gets the credit." And I would say that there are so many people that deserve so much credit, men and women. And in terms of our planning work, Derek Paulson, who's our commissioner of planning, has done a remarkable job in the leadership role that he's held and our Chief Administrative Officer, Sally Hamilton. I've been blessed in this administration.
Sally's
some
the
really
best.
Remarkable,
Sally's
really
the best.
Remarkable people. I could go on and on. Right. And I'll get in trouble because I've just named a few. I appreciate the work of the council and all that have been involved in Kevin Atkins, our Chief Development Officer. So many people, the Chamber, have worked together to ensure that Lexington is a prosperous place moving forward. And, you know, I love crowding the winner's circle, and that's been a great experience to have been able to have. So thank you, sir. Thank you all for letting me be with you today, Skip.
Well, we thank you very much for being our inaugural guest on Local Matters here, and we'll be back again. We thank everybody for being here. Thank you so much, and we'll see you the next time on Local Matters.
You've been listening to Local Matters, the radio show about all things affecting Central Kentucky, brought to you by Citizens Commerce. Switch one time for a lifetime. The views expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of LM Communications Broadcast Media Group affiliates or sponsors.